Joining me in the studio now, I have David Healy from the Green Party. Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, Mark. How are you?
David, thanks very much for coming in to us this morning. The Green Party, I suppose, first and foremost, is to start back then, a few years ago, the election. It was a tough time for us, for the Green Party. Kind of were seriously, we won't say wiped out, but took a serious hit at the polls at the last general election. And you haven't gone away. You're obviously still out there. How has the intervening years been for you?
Well, I suppose it was probably 2009 where we lost all of our council seats in Dublin. And then obviously 2011, we lost all of the Doyle seats. Yeah. Now, since then, in 2014, a few of us got back into the council. So there's I'm one of the councillors in Fingal, together with Roderick from Castleknock, and we have councillors in the city, South Dublin and Dunleary Rathdown. So we're kind of back at engaged at a local level and working away on the ground. And as a party, we've always been strong at local level and on local issues. So, you know, we're looking forward then. There's an election next year, and we would certainly expect that we will get a few people back into the Dáil. It pretty much mirrors what happened to the German Greens, 20 years before, where they first went into coalition and they lost all their seats at national level in the following election. So it's not that much of a surprise. Obviously, it's difficult, and it's particularly difficult to engage in national politics when you're outside the Dáil.
Yeah.
But we've continued to focus on the issues which other parties have been ignoring, and I'm particularly involved myself in climate change issues. And really, we're seeing, you know, it's just been getting absolutely no attention from the current government.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, Pat, and I think most people are looking in, we'll say this next election coming up, maybe around this time next year, I think we're talking about, it's going to be probably fought on in a different kind of way, because in the intervening years since the last election and certainly in the last year to 18 months, we've certainly seen a huge shift of people towards the anti-austerity parties and stuff like that. Where do you see yourselves as the Greens kind of fitting into that? Because there's very much a very clear divide now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot of people, I think, well, depending on who you believe, between 30,000 and 100,000 people again on the streets on Saturday with regards to the water. And water, for example, is going to be one of the big issues coming to the next election. And I mean, as a Green Party, water would obviously be an issue that would be high on your agenda too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've always been very clear on this, that, you know, water is an important, vital public resource.
Yeah.
And it needs to be managed properly and in a sustainable fashion, that paying a reasonable amount for it is part of that management.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping it as a public resource under democratic control is also an essential part of that management. So obviously we're opposed to Irish Water as it's been established, but we do agree that the water charges to a certain level are necessary. Now, that's part of a kind of a wider, you know, perspective on the fact that we face a major challenge in managing our resources sustainably, and we're failing to do that. And so that's kind of an approach we're taking, that these are our common public goods, and they need to be managed in trust for the public and not set up for privatisation, which is quite clear has been done with Irish Water.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, a lot of people's fears when, you know, you hear people on the protest, you hear people talking, is that this whole Irish Water as it was set up, and I'm not going to concentrate on water, we have an awful lot, we have enough chat about water, but, you know, that was a lot of people's fears, that, you know, this Irish Water was set up purely to be privatised in a couple of years' time, and then God knows where we're giving away a vital natural resource. And
I wouldn't say it was purely to be privatised, but I would say that is certainly one of the unspoken factors.
Yeah.
And there've been other legitimate spoken factors given, but there's a solution to this, and that is to enshrine in the constitution that water is a public resource and cannot be privatised. And a number of other countries have done this specifically because of the threat of water privatisation. And it's not unique to Ireland.
Yeah.
It's been a major political controversy in many countries. And we could do that. And that's something we've been proposing for the last couple of years.
Yeah. And then we're kind of happy. So that kind of deals with that. So then let's say the wider austerity issue. There'd certainly be a feeling out there that a lot of voters come the next election will certainly still remember Fianna Fáil was the party in coalition with the Greens who took us to ruination, for want of a better word. I hate calling it the crash. It's just so dramatic, the crash. but is there a job of work on for yourselves and the Green Party to kind of maybe distance yourselves from that, or are you expecting that that's going to be something that you will certainly, your opposition will start hitting you back with, well, yous were at the table too when the walls came tumbling down?
Yeah, I expect they will, but I think that what we need to do is we need to look at what happened in terms of the longer picture. That was the bursting of a bubble, you know, in Ireland and wider in across the capitalist system. A bubble which we had pointed out, but which we hadn't had enough force to really take action on.
Yeah.
And Fianna Fáil had, you know, successfully ridden that in a number of elections, you know, maintaining its share of the vote because it was delivering at the time. The fact is, it was delivering something that wasn't real. Now, what we're saying we need to do now is, in response to it, is we need to put the investment into the transition into a sustainable system, and one that is real and is not based on a property bubble or a credit bubble or any of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you've a job of work, I'd imagine. And it was just when I got the call and I was reading that your conference is coming up next week, I have to be honest, the Greens. You know, it is refreshing because, as I said, the dividing line seems to be very clear. Coming into the next election, there's all of the people who are completely anti-austerity, anti-everything. And then there's the main parties who are going to probably stay on toe the line. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where you kind of fit into that and how your message is received, because I think it's going to be vitally important to come the next election that there's a lot of different voices out there, because I do think this next election coming up is going to be vitally important for the country, hugely important, because the election is one thing, the next government then is another, you know. Like, sometimes I think we have to be careful what we wish for, because we might just get it.
And
you know, but anyway, moving forward, you have your, I seen on the TV over the weekend, did you have a conference in Northern Ireland last week?
Yes, I think the Greens in the North.
Yeah, because I thought it was after getting me dates all mad. Because I've seen it and I said, no, I'm sure this is next week. So next week you all decamp down to Kilkenny for your conference. What can people expect?
Well, I suppose they can expect us to look in particular at what we've been achieving at a local level. So, for example, in Fingal, we've been putting a lot of emphasis on energy efficiency and renewable energy, on protecting local amenities. I'm the councillor in Howth, and certainly we see Howth as an amenity for the entirety of the city, and especially the north side of the city. And, you know, we look at protecting it on that basis.
Yeah.
So it's about engaging on issues and in an open and democratic, transparent way, reporting back to people. And so we'll be reporting back on, you know, our last 8 months, 9 months in local government in particular. And then looking at the green issues, the global crisis obviously is even more severe. The warnings we're getting from scientists about climate change, and the practical examples we're seeing with Cyclone Pam, for example, most recently.
Yeah.
You know, we are now seeing the strongest hurricanes we've seen for hundreds of years, and these are the warning signs coming, and we need to be listening to them.
Yeah, and we're still seeing them. You know, talking about climate change, and we've seen the horrible thing that happened there in Vanuatu there a couple of weeks ago, last week. And, you know, we see all the, I mean, even our own weather in this country has kind of changed dramatically in the last 20 years. You have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid not to see it. It has kind of changed dramatically. We get bigger, stronger storms, bigger tides, bigger tidal surges, things like that. Why do you think that people aren't putting two and two together and realising, listen, we all need to wake up to this? I know lots of people are probably, I put me plastic in the green bin and I put this into that bin. And yeah, that's a great step. But I sometimes look up, we don't seem to make the connection between climate change and the changes in air, weather, the flooding, the storms, etc. And it does affect us here too. We've seen some huge storms last year and the year before. How do you engage people with that? It's obviously an ongoing process, but do you find it's difficult to get that across to people, make the connection with them?
Well, I mean, this is, I suppose, and it's not just us who face this. It's, you know, in particular the climate scientists are kind of wondering, you know, what do they need to do? They've been giving this consistently the same message for 30 years now, and they're probably starting to wonder, you know, are the microphones working? Is anybody listening to the radio? Yeah. What's going on? And the psychologists are looking at this and coming up with different questions. One issue that they say is that if the threat is too big for people to face, then they will just deny it entirely. They will pretend it doesn't exist. And so there's an important point at which people aren't paying attention to it, and the point at which they you know, can't cope with it. Mm-hmm. And Al Gore talks about this. He says, you know, there's a space somewhere between denial and despair, and we have to be working in that space. And the people at the two ends will never cope with it.
I mean, on a global scale, we see, I think it's every couple of years, we all the big nations go to the climate change summits and everything else, and they all sit down for 2 days and they all talk to each other.
2 weeks.
And they all walk away and they all go, right, see you in 2 years' time. Yeah. And nobody really, I'm sure I read it recently, or I spoke to someone recently, said, Ireland, we're going to be in contravention of our commitments to Kyoto, is it?
No, but no, our Kyoto commitments, we met the Kyoto, first Kyoto period was up to 2012, but the second period, and there's an EU agreement on that, so the second Kyoto period is up to 2020, and we're going to be way over our emissions targets at a European level. Yeah. Now, what's going to happen is that Europe as a whole is setting to meet its targets, but Ireland will actually have to pay to buy the credits from other European countries, so we'll be forking out tens of millions of euros.
Just what we need to be paying more money for something.
Yeah, paying more money. But our real problem is if we're not on track for 2020, then we're definitely not going to be on track for 2030.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to keep going down. So we haven't had our last national climate change strategy finished off in 2012. And since then, we haven't had a policy. So basically, the entirety of this government has been running climate change without a policy. And we've got a climate change bill introduced into the Dáil now, which envisages that they will develop their national climate change strategy by 2017, which, of course, is well after the next election.
Well after the next election,
So it's basically being kicked down the road. Let the next government deal with it. But the next government will have an enormous crisis to face, both for 2020, but also to get us on track for 2030.
I mean, and that goes back to the point, it's incredible that it's not taken seriously enough. Or does it just come down to a matter of priorities with governments, do you think? Do they have other issues that they just prioritise ahead of?
Yeah, I think that's particularly it. I mean, at an EU level, one of the things that's been very interesting is looking at the fact that they're negotiating a transatlantic trade and investment partnership with the United States.
Yeah.
And the United States is the one country which has been blocking progress in the climate change talks for 23 years now. I mean, certainly they were pretty clear in Rio when the UNFCCC was established and they signed up to it that they weren't really negotiating. And then when the Kyoto Protocol was adopted in the early 20s, say about 12 years now, they've been refusing to participate in the Kyoto Protocol. So that makes it pretty clear that they are the problem, and yet Europe is going to negotiate a trade treaty with them. And the question is, well, which is the higher priority? Is it trade or climate?
Mm.
At the moment, as far as the EU overall is concerned, it's clearly trade.
Yeah.
And it's only when, at an international level, it's only when things get taken to the, you know, the main kind of engagement or sanctions or carrots and sticks between states is trade access, trade policy. Climate change hasn't been seen as important enough to affect our trade relationships yet.
Yeah. You know, you bring up the TTIP, as we've been calling it here. That myself and my colleague Noel McGuinness, who presents this programme on a Tuesday and a Friday, we only became aware of TTIP about 6 months ago.
Right.
And when I started reading it, I was going, holy moly, you know, it's not a surprise it was being negotiated in secret once you start reading it. And it does seem to be geared all towards trade, and there's so much more that needs to be looked at and taken care of. As you say, the United States particularly have absolutely no intention of, well, they don't seem to have any intention of sticking to any sort of climate change policy. And, you know, if we're signed up to that, we're going to be tied into it. So it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. I mean, in the United States, the Senate is the body which agrees to international agreements, and it has always been clear that they wouldn't sign up to Kyoto or a successor agreement.
Yeah.
But the Senate will be the body which will have to adopt TTIP as well. So the question is, well, if they want one, shouldn't we as Europe be saying, well, you have to take the two together? You know, you'll have to play ball on the climate if you want us to play ball on trade. So we have to, you know, we have to be negotiating it.
Yeah. It's an interesting, it's going to be interesting one, and I encourage as many people as I can when I say to them, read up on TTIP, because I think it's something that everyone should be aware of, regardless of how you feel about it once you've read it. But I certainly feel it's something everybody should
certainly,
be aware of.
You know, I mean, certainly, obviously I'm very concerned about the idea of this investment to trade settlement mechanism, whatever this
may be. I'd try to explain that to people and they go, they can't do that. I said, well, they can, and they will, and they have in certain
done
situations.
In other instances, but it does need to be stopped. But you can have a constructive trade agreement without that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
One that is subject to democratic control and so on.
Yeah. Now, you talk about, you know, Holt and your own constituency out there where you work, and you're very proud of Holt. A beautiful place. And you see, as yesterday, I live just up there in Clare Hall, and it was coming out of Clare Hall, and you just see the lines of traffic, and they're going out the whole Malahide, Port Marnock, Holt route. You know they're all going down when the sun comes out, and it's great to see. But what I wanted to ask you about, I mean, you mentioned there as well, renewable energy. Right. Again, in a country like ours where we get so much wind and so much waves, big waves especially, there does seem to be huge objection to wind farms. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't understand it. If it's going to give us the ability to become less dependent on fossil fuels, it's just a no-brainer to me. But there doesn't seem to be any huge political will to kind of push that forward, and there's certainly a lot of objection to it. If it ever came about, there was a big wind farm stuck out there in Dublin Bay or out off Ireland's Eye, how would you feel about that? Or do you think it's the way we need to go?
Yeah, I think certainly, say the Kish Bank, for example, would be a good spot for wind farms. You know, I wouldn't have any difficulty with that. I'd say maybe, you know, the view kind of Ireland's Eye, Lambay and all that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if you had to choose, I would choose the Kish, and there's a bank there which is going to make it easier. It has certain advantages as well, in that it'll create a kind of a protected spawning zone around the base of the mm-hmm. turbines.
Yeah.
So it can be beneficial for the fish, for the marine conservation. But I think the overall question, and certainly with the opposition to wind farms in rural areas, has to do with ownership. People feel, as individuals and as a community, that they own their area, and what's happening is a big change in the area which they haven't been involved in, haven't been consulted in.
Uh-huh.
And it's striking to see how differently things have been done in Denmark, where every wind farm that goes up, local people get an opportunity to own a share of it.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, the wind farms are entirely community owned, so it's entirely owned by, you know, a local community organisation, returning dividends back to local farmers and local residents. It's not just the people who own land. What's happened here is that it's been a kind of a speculation thing, where developers have rushed in to buy options from farmers on particular farmers, particular bits of land, and of course that's created a lot of local division.
Yeah.
And then people will kind of transfer that into all the other reasons that you know they're unhappy with wind farms. So it's about community engagement, because the wind is a common resource.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need to recognise that, and not just something that people can grab. And if we learnt from some of the other countries, I think we might do it a lot better. But certainly we should see a lot of more onshore wind. And solar now is what's astonishing about solar is that it's now so affordable and, mm-hmm. you know, increasingly in the sunniest countries, it's becoming the cheapest form of electricity. But even in Ireland, we get plenty of sun when it comes down to it.
Lots of stuff to keep you going and keep people watching.
Yeah, lots to work on. And I suppose especially at a local level, you know, mm-hmm. all the things before you can turn them into national policy, many of them have to be demonstrated and trialled at a local level. You have to see them actually working before they'll influence the civil service in the departments.
Yeah. We'll give all the times and dates for the conference before I let you go. But there's one last thing I have to ask you about, because we asked it. Fracking.
Yeah.
It's another nasty business that an awful lot of people don't seem to understand what it is or know what it is, but it's not something we'd really like to see happening here, is it?
No, fracking is I mean, it's real old style, you know, go and grab a resource and don't care about what damage you're leaving behind.
Yeah.
And in many respects, a lot of our environmental protection has come has come about after the problems have been demonstrated.
Yeah.
With fracking, it's very obvious now. We understand how groundwater works. We can see that this is a process which involves changing, basically, to explain it, it's a process to get fossil fuels out of shale in particular by pumping down water and often bits of sand and various mm-hmm. other toxic chemicals down into the aquifer where they, or into the rocks where the oil is held and releasing it back out.
Yeah.
And pushing it out, basically. And the consequences for this is stuff that's pretty much been safely locked away,
yeah,
you know, and not contaminating the water supply.
Yeah.
The consequences are basically that the water supply is likely to be contaminated, yeah, both by the oil itself but also by the toxic chemicals that are
and,
used.
And this process, if I understand it correctly, could take place over miles and miles and never find anything. But the damage is still... They may not necessarily find the resources they're looking for, but the damage is permanent.
Well, yeah, I mean, the exploration is the same, is yeah, a similar process to the extraction. They're going to be extracting, you know, oil or gas, depending on the rocks, and the exploration is similar to, yeah, to the extraction, so it's already starting the damage.
Okay, David, well, the conference next weekend in Kilkenny, good old city. Give us the times and dates for people who are listening if they're interested in going down or taking part.
It's basically Friday and Saturday.
That's yeah, correct. I didn't print them off. That's why I asked you.
Oh, okay.
It is Friday and Saturday.
It's basically Friday and Saturday. So have a look on the Green Party website. It's in Langton's.
Langton's Hotel.
Anyone
who's ever been to Kilkenny has to know Langton's well. If you've ever been on a Stags or a Hens or Kilkenny, you know Langton's. Well, David, listen, we wish you the best of luck. And so maybe coming nearer the election or nearer the end of the year, we'll get talking to you again.
Be great.
Because I look forward to hearing, you know, what your plans are and looking forward to what your, you know, the options you're giving people out there. Because I think it's important that people think about different things. You know, right, as I started by saying to you, you know, like water's going to be huge at this next yeah, election. Austerity's going to be huge. But yeah, there's so many other things that people yeah, need to consider before they cast a vote. So, yeah, we look forward to it. Listen, David, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you. There you go, folks. That's David Healy from the Green Party telling us all about some of the things going on in the environment, some of the issues that they're going to be fighting the election on, and yeah, we look forward to hearing to what they have to say in the future. Okay, we're going to have a few ads now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to the girls from Glasnevin Girls National School.
Your alternative across North East Dublin, 90.3. This is Near FM.
Welcome to Jazz Profiles, the programme that explores every aspect of jazz, be it the blues, traditional jazz, swing, mainstream, bebop and free jazz, in the company of the very best jazz musicians and singers in the business. Join me, Vincent Flood, every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. on Near FM. And remember to keep listening and keep swinging.
Don't stall until our arms cross the complete.
Takeoff time is 10 o'clock on Monday nights. Join me, Tony Fitzsimons, for a musical trip around the world. Global Roots, every Monday night at 10 o'clock.
Reminds me of the old Nashville saying, which is, happy songs sell records, sad songs sell beer.
That's the way of.
That's how it goes.
Sometimes you're hot.
Sometimes you're cold.
Steve, you got one for us?
Roots Highway, Americana and Roots Music with me, Stephen Egan, Saturdays from 5 to 6 p.m.
If ever you go, a Northside Dublin perspective. Tune into Near FM this March for a special poetry series celebrating the Dublin One City One Book, If Ever You Go, A Map of Dublin in Poetry and Song. This series looks at this unique book from a Northside Dublin perspective and features contributions from some of Dublin's best-loved poets, including Paul Amin, Dermot Bulger, Theo Dorgan and many more. Join me, Pat Lynch, every Monday evening in March from 6 to 7pm for an hour of radio steeped in poetry, discussion and song. This week featuring Colm Keegan, Dermot Bulger and Jean O'Brien at 6pm and Catherine Ann Cullen, Pat Boren and Paul Amin at 6:30pm.
Music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
There you go, lads. That's the Beatles with Come Together. And now I'm very happy to say I've got four lovely ladies in the studio with me from St. Bridget's Girls National School in Glasnevin. I have Emily, Holly, Ava and Miss Edwards. How is all?
Good.
You're so very welcome to Near FM. Thank you very much for coming in. Now, you're here to tell us all about Green Skills and the Green Skills Initiative. So, straight up, for all the old adults out there like myself who wouldn't have a clue what Green Skills is, tell us what it is, Emily. You go first.
Well, Green Skills is an educational program for the whole school to learn about the environment and about waste and water and energy and...
Excellent stuff. So you have to kind of think about recycling and stuff like that, yeah? So, Holly, what do you have to do as part of the Green Skills Initiative? What exercises do you have to take part in the school to make sure you're sticking to your Green Skills policies?
Well, we kind of have to do things that get the message out, like not only to us, because sometimes the juniors don't understand everything the senior school would. So we have to kind of make out in sometimes in like kind of a way that younger people would understand.
Very good.
And like sometimes, I remember at the third class we made a marker rainbow out of wasted markers.
Oh, you seen the picture? That's very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's just teaching people that you don't have to be throwing stuff in the bin all the time. There's a use for them. Yeah, excellent stuff. And Ava, with regards to the environment, is it important, you know, when you're doing the Green Skills that you get the message out how important the environment is to us and we need to protect it?
Yeah, because we have mini meetings at lunchtime and we have set aside classes. And we go to the classes, like, for sixth class, they go to the juniors, and I go to the seniors.
Uh-huh.
And we go and just tell them what's happening and what we've been talking about in at the meeting and what's coming up next.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Just, you said you're in sixth class. What kind of class are you in, Holly?
I'm in third class.
Third class and...
Fourth.
Emily. Wow, you're so young. So, Miss Edwards, it's great to see in this, and only before you came in we was talking to a chap from the Green Party, and you know our environment is so delicate, and you know climate change and everything else, and it's really important that, you know, it's great to see young kids getting
the
message
at
such an early age, you know. And how hard did he have to work to kind of, because this is obviously all extracurricular to an extent.
The girls give up their lunch times to be part of the Green Schools Committee and spread the message, and they work really hard to pride themselves just passing on the reduce, reuse and recycle message in our school. And they make up mottos as well, don't you girls?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what our motto is this year?
We come together to protect the world forever.
Excellent stuff. That's brilliant. Actually, you want to go back out after that fella from the Green Car. He'd probably use that. He'll take that on your stuff. That green. that's
okay, we'll allow him.
That's very good. So, reduce, reuse and recycle. Okay, we're coming into school, it's lunchtime, there's bits of tin foil going here and there's bits of bread going there and everything else. So, you get everybody on the one page and they get all the rubbish together, and then what do? Do you separate it, recycle it, compost it? What's the plan?
Well, we have the different bins. We have ones for our milk, like our Tetra Paks, and we have one for our compost, one for waste paper and one for recycling.
Excellent.
And we also have like boxes for one-sided paper. If you have, say, if you coloured on one side of a paper on a piece of paper but the other side was free, don't just throw it out, like just put it in the box. And we also use, like, at the photocopier we use like different pieces of paper that have already stuff on them. The teachers start to do that.
Very good. We do that here too. If you print one side of the paper and you don't use, look at all the paper I'd have to use when I come back. But we have a box inside where, because there's no point in throwing that out. I could be drawing pictures of boys on that later.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come back to you, Miss Edwards, because St. Bridget's is going for their sixth green flag. That's amazing.
That's right. It's absolutely amazing if you think about it. Now, I've only been involved myself for the last 3 years with the green schools, but teachers over the years and the pupils for the last 15 years in our school have been doing it since nearly the beginning of green
schools. Since nearly the beginning of green schools.
So we're on our sixth flag. If the girls want to name maybe all the five so far that we've achieved, it'd be great.
Well, our first one was litter and waste. Then we came to energy, then water, transport and biodiversity. And the flag we're going for this year is global citizenship, litter and waste.
Wow, that's very impressive. Yeah. That's very impressive.
Covers all the themes of basically taking care of your health.
And is there, if you get that one, is there another one to go, or is that it then? Is there no more? Do you have to go for world domination after that?
Yeah, there's more. They continually come up with the new flag, on Tashka, who organises it. So the next one will be global citizenship too, but it would be incorporating, we'll be going back over all our old flags. So litter and waste was the first, so what was the second group then?
Energy.
So we'll be doing global citizenship with an energy team and how we can be part of our world and link it in with energy.
It's really good and it's great to see, because I mean I see schools around, and I know my two lads when they were in primary school, they were involved in the green schools and they got one flag and they were delighted, but to have five and going for six. And you obviously weren't involved. How long is the process to get each flag? Is it a year?
Every 2 years.
Going to say, you obviously weren't there at the start.
Not the very beginning, but they've been there and they worked hard. For each flag is so important and a lot of work.
That's okay. The microphone just attacked Holly. Not Holly. Emily. That's already do that all the time. So how long more do you have to go before you find out whether you get your sixth green flag? Is it, how far into your process are you?
Well, we find out in May, I think.
Our inspector came in to see what we've been doing to get our flag, and now Miss Ryan, another teacher, has to fill out big forms to go.
Miss Ryan's been heavily involved over the years. She'd be our green schools coordinator. Yeah, she couldn't be here today, but
so she's gonna have to go.
She's done lots
fill
of
out forms,
scenes.
And then we might get our flag. But the inspector looked very pleased.
Did he? Well, Miss Ryan might be listening in between typing out a big report. Do you want to say hello to her? Hey, Miss Ryan.
Hi, Miss Ryan. Hi, Ms. Ryan.
So, right, we're going for this sixth flag. Hopefully the inspector was big impressed. Miss Ryan fills out the forms right. That's all on you, Miss Ryan, now. Make sure them forms are filled out right. And you get your green flag. Is it going to be a big party?
We have a flag raising ceremony. Who was the last celebrity?
The Rose of Tralee.
We had Rose of Tralee in to raise our flag last time. And over the years we've had
other
Dermot
people.
Gavin and,
You'll have to go for someone big. You have to see if Ollie Moores or someone can come over.
Niall Horan. He's Irish.
Good Irishman. Get an Irishman to do it. You'll be trying your One Direction roots there, Holly. Right, well, so listen, we wish you huge success. And come here, will you do me a favour? If you do get your green flag, will you just let me know?
Yeah.
Because I'll go down when you're having your flag raising ceremony. Okay. And we'll do a few little interviews and all, and we'll record stuff down there. And we'll, because it really is great to see children, especially because, you know, as Whitney Houston said, I believe the children are their future. God bless us all.
Do you want to say thanks to the rest of the committee?
Oh, I thought it was on the news tree. Okay.
Hello, we have a big committee.
Roll call.
Hello.
Green Skills.
What's their names?
Ruth. There's about 20 children.
Ruth, Kira, Aoife.
Who's out?
Isabel.
Isabel.
Lauren.
Lauren.
Anne-Marie. You know what, girls? If you ever win this,
and everyone else,
everybody involved, and
we're sorry we couldn't mention.
It's the pressure, is it?
Yeah.
And if the people at home would like to find out more, girls, where will they find out? Tips to be green
on our blog, St. Bridget's, and there's a link on it for our Green School blog.
Brilliant. So
www.stbridgets.ie.
Excellent. So like,
there's pictures of our rainbow on it. As well.
If you want to take a look.
That's me not thinking outside the box at all there, because I thought it was just limited to the school, but you're reaching out into the community.
We're
as well.
Trying, yeah, absolutely.
Ah,
yeah,
that's magnificent.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's fabulous, and yeah, get them all involved and get them bringing down their recycling too, and you know every person.
Next month.
Oh.
Oh, we're doing batteries. So if you bring in your batteries, the Wee Company of Ireland will give the money they get to the Laura Lynn charity. So bring your batteries to Bridget. Yeah,
excellent. Is that another motto?
Yeah.
Bring your batteries to Bridges.
Emily made that up.
Emily, fair play to you.
And on Saturday, it's Earth Hour. So from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m, turn off your lights.
Turn off all the lights and pull out all the plugs. And take
play
out
board games
all those chargers that are sitting plugged in with nothing attached to them.
And we also had a action plan from Grania came into our school.
Thanks, Grania.
Waste reduction, and there's been a massive reduction in our school, and we've one less big black bin now.
Excellent stuff.
When we did the Global Action Plan Ireland.
I think you should run for election, girls. I think you should run in the next election and sort all of them fellas out, because you certainly have your heads well screwed on, and it's brilliant all the initiatives you are doing. And absolutely, we wish you the best of luck in going forward and getting your flag. And when you do get it, give me a shout and I will go down, I promise, and we'll get some interviews, and sure you might even come back in during the summer and you tell us all about the party.
Yeah,
all about the party. Yeah. And when all the recycling went out the window and you were all having crisps and drinking coke.
recycling
your cans. Yeah, well listen, Emily, Holly, Ava and Miss Edwards, for coming in to us, thanks so very much. It's been great to talk to you, and as I say, it's brilliant to see you're so committed to the green initiatives, and long may it continue. We wish you the best luck. Now, we picked a song. We had a little chat, folks, before we came on air, and we let the girls pick a song. So who wants to introduce the song? Which one of you wants to introduce the song?
It's Ellie Goulding, Love Me Like You Do.
Love Me Like You Do. Is this a good song now?
Yeah.
It's a great song. Okay, here we go. We'll play this out and we'll have a little quick chat with the girls afterwards, after the song, before they go.
Okay.
days go, girls. That was a good song. Ellie Goulding. I like Ellie Goulding. She's good. She's really good. Okay, before we go, we're going to go back down the line one more time. Emily, first, you tell us, remind us one more time about the blog if people are interested.
Our blog, our school website is www.stbridget.ie. And our Green Schools blog is a link on that.
It's on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Holly, you wanted to say thanks to
Grania from Global Action Ireland, because she did a big waste audit with us and she did a big help to get down our waste and everything. So thank you.
Very good. And Ava, you remind us about this Saturday. What have we got?
This Saturday at 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. there will be Earth Hour, and just to everyone to turn off their lights and play a board game with your family and go outside and play.
Yeah. And then next month you have your
Bring your batteries to Bridget's.
Excellent stuff. And finally, Miss Edwards, will give you the last say. Anything else you'd want people to know about or to be aware of?
No, I think our main message today from the girls is reduce, reuse, recycle, and
excellent stuff.
It's for our children and our children's children, and to keep our earth. And listen, one last final thank you to the whole school, all the teachers and all the children.
Absolutely.
For making the Green School.
Huge effort. So one more, between three is together, right? I go 1, 2, 3. You have to give me your motto, right? Because that motto's brilliant. I guarantee you one of them political parties is going to rob this, right? So before you go, 1, 2, 3.
We come together to protect the world forever.
Excellent stuff. Listen, girls, thanks so much for coming in to us, and we wish you all the best of luck going forward, and hopefully you'll get your green flag and you'll be flying it there. 6 green flags, brilliant achievement, well done. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Okay, guys, that's the girls and the Miss Edwards from St. Bridget's Girls National School in Glasnevin, telling us all about their Green Schools initiative and going for their 6th green flag. Brilliant achievement, absolutely brilliant. Okay, little piece of music now from Mr. Neil Diamond.
Rhythm to spare. It's a beautiful noise, and it's a sound that I love, and it fits me as well as a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise coming up from the park. There's even romance in the way that they dance to the beat of the light. It's a beautiful noise, and it's a sound that I love, and it makes me feel good, like a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise. Joy of strife, like a symphony played by the passing parade. It's the music of life. It's a beautiful.
beautiful